I want you to do something for me if you have already written down the title of the message. I want to add two words to the message. Before the word mercy, I want to put God's. And before the word anger, I want to put his. So the subject should read, God's mercy is greater than his anger. That's the point that I want to get across to you. And I'm praying in my spirit that I can, and I know if it goes like yesterday's, I won't be able to do this. I just pray that I can tell you everything that God has told me about this message. And I pray and I thank God that it's going to have the same effect on you, or greater effect on you than it did on me. And because I need to walk in stages and you are more intelligent than I am, so you can jump in leaps and bounds. God's mercy is greater than his anger. All right. God's mercy is so great that we may soon be able to drain the sea of his water and deprive the sun of his light to the earth, or make space that all these things may be diminished. None of these things can diminish the greatness of God's mercy. That statement is given credit to, I'm giving credit for that statement to come from an old preacher yesterday, Charles Spurgeon. If you can drain the sea, you can drain God's mercy. You can run it out of it. What needs to happen to us when we receive mercy from God, we should extend it to others. And when we do that, we always disappoint Satan. Because his goal is to keep us believing that God is angry with us and to make us angry with other people. Yes, brothers and sisters, God does get angry with us. But his mercy is greater than his anger. God is merciful, his mercy is great, and it is new every day.
Yes, sir.
His mercy is greater than his anger. God does get angry, but he is not an angry God. He is not an angry God. There's not a parent in here, a grandparent in here, that haven't been angry with their child or their children about something. And it won't last. Wow. Always. Because your mercy is greater than your anger.
Yes, sir.
God's wrath is against sin, but he extends mercy to the sinner. Mm-hmm. God's mercy cannot be grasped by our finite minds, but can only be received by the heart of these sinners that we are. God would give us the faith to believe in mercy, even though we will not understand it. Everything that God does for you, you just don't understand it. But you ought to have enough faith and trust to receive it, because it's coming from God.
Yes, sir.
There's no way to explain why a just and sinless God would decide to not punish those who deserve it, but instead give them grace, give them favor, give them blessings, give them forgiveness, and give them love, all of which are issued out of his mercy.
Come on.
But we can be grateful that he did. They've already sung a song this morning, and I'm grateful. Mm-hmm. because God has extended his mercy. And his mercy is greater than his anger.
Yes, sir.
I have to, with this one, I'm going to have to take my time with it because I have the notes, but I don't want to leave anything out that God has said for me to tell you.
All right.
Point number one is called repentance. Open your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God gives his personal promise to his people, a promise that is at the very heart of this book of Chronicles and the 7th chapter and verse 14. And it's in the entire Old Testament and the New Testament, from the beginning to the end, and the old and the new, that the hands of God's judgment falls upon those who commit wickedness. But here the Lord is declared to both Solomon and the people of his people, he had had judgment that could be stopped. Judgment can be stopped if we stay, if we come to the will of God. The people's sin arouses God's judgment, and it causes drought and loss of crops to come on the land, and some plagues was among them. They could stop this judgment. They could be saved and delivered by them confessing the Lord and be his people. You got to do more than tell God that you're going to repent of your sin. Wow. You got to show God that you're going to live the way that he would have for you to live.
Right.
He is the only living and true God, the only Savior and the Lord of the universe. Therefore, we must become his followers if we want to receive the mercy that he has for us.
Yes.
We need to call upon the name of the Lord, and we need to bear witness of his name. You must humble yourself before the Lord instead of rebelling against him and being stubborn and hard-headed and insisting on living your life the way that you want to live. Most of us want our lives, and we want to do it like we do it at Burger King. We want to have it our way. You can't live for God today, profess him today with your mouth, and then before the sun go down, you have forgotten everything you said. This word needs to get in your life, because God's mercy is greater than his anger. Back and why you keep telling us that? Because an angry, when God get angry, it doesn't last for long. It's just like when your parents used to get angry with you and they had a peach tree outside. They didn't stay angry long, because they went and got something off the tree and they used it on you. God does the same thing. That's why his anger won't last for long. We must humble ourselves and obey his commandments and live as we should. Because we want his mercy, we must seek his face and seek forgiveness, and must also seek deliverance from chastisement, and understand that the discipline is going to come, and it's going to come because he loves you and because you are his child. Those whom he loves, he chastens. I'm glad that he loved me, because he chased me when I did wrong. When you do wrong, he's going to chase you, and then you have to repent. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Brothers, sisters, you got to repent of the wrong you've done. You may have slapped somebody or your friend. You might have slapped them, but the sin is against God. All sin is committed against God, and you got to ask ask for forgiveness of your sin. Repentance is turning around and going in the opposite direction of the direction that you were going. You were on your way to hell before you repented. And when you repented, heaven was in your sight, and you started walking towards it. Then God will take you back into his own, and you will be his child. But you got to turn from your wicked ways. And when you turn, you can't stay at the same place. You got to start walking back towards where God would have you to be. Listen, you got to confess your sin and humble yourselves and come to God. And you got to pray. Brothers and sisters, a prayer is a link to heaven. It's better than Centel or Verizon. You can call all the way to glory. That's what God, he said in that. They will pray and seek my face. You got to pray and you got to seek his face because you have been walking away from him. Don't look at his hand and what he got for you. Seek his face. If you seek his face and get him in the face, get his face in your mind, get it all in your spirit, then you can have what's in his hand. God, you got to ask for forgiveness. Because people ask for it doesn't mean they're sincere. You got to live this life and be serious with God. You got to be sincere. You got to prove only that you turn to God. Things will happen in your life to test you to see whether you are real or you just want it for right now. You got to stay with him for a while. Repentance is always necessary to receive forgiveness and the salvation of God. God lays down some conditions for Solomon and the people, and those same conditions are for you today. If you will seek his face and turn from your wicked ways, oh Lord, you got to do something. You can't stay right where you are. You can't stay in your mess and serve God. You gonna either be a child of God or you gonna be a child of the devil. Point number two, there is a promise of repentance in Michael chapter 7, verse 18, and it reads, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighted in mercy. There's a promise of repentance. God's people will be forgiven of their sin. What is that? That's a glorious promise that God makes to his people. He promised us. The promise was made first to Israel, but through Christ is offered to us as well. Listen to me. I wrote listen down here because I felt like by now somebody might well have drove off a little bit on me. Listen, God will not be angry with his people forever. The words mirror the psalmist who has also declared that God will not be angry with his people forever. He, the Lord, will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Psalms 103 and 9, Psalms 30 and 5 declare that God's anger lasts but for a moment, but his favor lasts for a lifetime. God don't forgive you, but you got to come to him. And when you come to him, you don't have to be thinking about going away from him the next time. You got to be thinking, I'm going to stay there forever. God's mercy is greater than his anger. He's going to get angry with you when you walk away from him because you are his child. Listen, what's incredible, the reassurance that the Lord gave to the people of Israel. And because of these promises, we have the same assurance today. God will have compassion and mercy on his people. That's why I'm glad I'm under the umbrella of God. I have the compassion that he gave to the nation of Israel, whom he called my people, meaning that they belong to him. I have that same compassion that he showed towards them. The promise of God's mercy, it assures the people of God of the faithfulness of God. The Lord's mercy encompasses everything. It encompasses his love and kindness, his undeserved favor. It also embodies God's faithfulness to his covenant promise, his eternal and holy word. If God's word fails, everything else will pass away, because he promised that he would not stay angry with me forever, only for a little while. And brothers and sisters, if you got angry with somebody yesterday and you're still angry with them today, you better get it right. Because God, if God were to treat you like you treat everybody else, what kind of God would he be? That's why you need to be a forgiving person, because of the God that you serve. God's word and promises are firmly established. Now, how long, Baggett? Forever and forever and forever. Don't know what's on the other side of forever, but it's God, because his word will last forever. He promised us that he would let his word will not fail. God promised to be loyal to his people, even, and I love this statement, even when we were not loyal to him. You might have not been loyal to God, but God will keep his word to you. His word will not fail. He'll keep his word for his own name's sake. His name means something to him, so he's going to keep his word. Hell, Lord, he will establish and bless you forever, because his word says that he'll bless you. Listen, it tells us in Micah 7 and 8, his anger, he restores not his anger forever, because he delighted in mercy. Mercy is a delight to him. Mean that it's good to him. He wants to be merciful to you, because he is the all-seeing God. Then point number 3 is forgiveness. Come from Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 12. The verse that I read to you in the beginning, the one verse that I read. Listen, it says, go and proclaim these words towards the north, and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. God is a merciful God. God's mercy is greater than his anger. God is sending a call to repent to both backsliding Israel and backsliding Judea. But the call to repentance is applicable to the people who turn away from God. Although the Israelites were scattered throughout all the nations, the Assyrian Empire, the Lord was extending an invitation for them to repent of their sin. Well, baby, how could they repent of their sins if they were in a foreign land? I remember the big word, where omnipresent. It said he's everywhere. If he was in Jerusalem or Judea, he's in the nation of the Assyrian, because he's God and he's everywhere. And if they repent, God will bless them where they are. If they did, there was still a great hope for them. God would forgive their sin and place them under the care and protection that he has for all of us. I need to stick a pin right there, because I just had a thought. There used to be an insurance company that made a commercial. They say you're under the umbrella, and they would throw a whole lot of little umbrellas, start falling out all over. And anywhere the people that bought that insurance policy would walk, they were under the protection. You got something better than that. It goes even in the land where the insurance company might not even be. He got your back. He got your front. If you take his word, God's mercy is greater than his anger, because I'm his child. Yes, when I get out of line, he's going to get angry with me. But his word have told me that it won't last forever. He won't allow it to keep him from loving me and taking me back into the fold. God is merciful to us. Even before we come this way, he was still merciful to us. He kept us in all of our mess.
Thank you, God.
He kept us, the nation of Israel, the people that he called his own, that he brought out of the land of Egypt. They saw him do all those ten plagues on the nation of Egypt. When they got to the Red Sea, they saw him part the Red Sea. I wonder how many of them have seen water stand up on water. And they walked through. They took the time walking through. Someone have said that, and I don't know, his books tells us this, said the place where they walked through that Red Sea, said so many people trodden on it. It's harder than asphalt. It's harder than cement, because over 6 million people walked over it. God made a highway through the Red Sea. A highway. Four lane. I don't know whether four lane, six lane, or eight lane. But God made a highway through the middle because of his mercy. And as soon as they got on the other side, they started wanting to do something different. But God's mercy is greater than his anger. I keep wanting to get to that anger part, because I don't want you to think that when he's angry with you, everything is still hunky-dory. You got to go through something. Mm-hmm. If you're a child of God and you mess up and he get angry with you, you're gonna go through something. Okay. Even we know his anger won't last forever. And we are under his care and his protection. And he restores his wonderful promise to us that we sinned and walked away from him, but that still did not break his promise. I say this because I think some insurance companies, they give you, if you got an insurance with them, policy with them, they'll give you, sometime you can have 1 month or 2 month lapse of your paying your premium. Mm-hmm. You know, checkbook get slim and none, and you can't pay. Some of them, they'll give you a month or two. They'll still carry you as covered. But they ain't going to carry you forever. Uh-huh. Yeah. But once you become, you take out an insurance policy with God, and you sign, you're under it forever. But now if you walk away from him and go back to your sin,
yes,
you still saved, but you're going to lose some stuff. I know none of y'all are not like this, haven't done this, but have you seen other people doing wrong and seem like they're prospering? And you, the least little thing you do, they run red lights, stop signs, speed, and you speed one time and you get caught. Yeah, uh-huh. You honor the protection of God. He won't let you keep doing the same thing. I keep telling this because I want this to help somebody. I've got one ticket in Crestview. I don't speed in Crestview, especially on Valley Road, because they will fine you. And I almost had to pay $200 of my money, not y'all, my money, that's a whole lot of money when it's mine, right? I don't speed on Valley Road. People pass me on Valley Road because speed limit is 25 going uphill and downhill. Why you tell them? Because they have gotten me one time. Common sense ought to tell me, don't let them get me again. But when you're under the protection of God, he got your back. But you, because you're under his protection, you cannot keep doing wrong. And see, that's what a lot of believers think. Well, if I do it this time and don't do it anymore, I'm okay. You go out there and death catch you outside.
Yes, sir.
You don't have time to ask for forgiveness. So if you're saved, you just lose your rewards. You won't lose your salvation, but you'll lose some. If you're not, if you're saved and you have a wreck and they get alcohol in you, you're supposed to be saved. Look at how your reputation is damaged, even though you're gone.
Right.
And your wife and your children got to live back here with their daddy was a drunk. Because that's the way he went out. If you're a child of God, there are things that you're not supposed to do. And God will forgive you of them. But you're not supposed to do it. God is a merciful God. God's people repent because the Lord is merciful.
Yes, sir.
His hand of judgment will not fall upon those who repent. Repent, brothers and sisters. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. When people turn away from their sin and turn back to God, their repentance removes the anger that God has. Because you repented, it removes his anger. And it restores the relationship with him. But sinful believers must remember this. You heard how I said that, didn't I? Sinful believers must remember this. The relationship is restored because of God's mercy. The relationship is restored because of God's mercy. I don't want you to miss the point that he's merciful because he forgives you, not because you are so great. He's merciful and he forgives you. And we must remember that repentance is necessary. But God is willing to forgive the repentant believer and receive them back into his loving arms only because he is merciful. In his mercy, God longed for his people to return because judgment lays ahead. If they fail to repent, and the Lord cry out through his prophets, return, 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 and you don't return,
right,
expect judgment.
Yes, sir.
The nation of Israel did not expect God to do this, but he did it, and they went into captivity. For God is a merciful God. God's mercy is greater than his anger. Point number four. Mercy is promised. Exodus chapter 34, verse 7. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquities and transgressions and sins, and that will by no means clear the guilt. Visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. Mercy is promised. God abound in his goodness. The very name and character of the Lord God points to and are wrapped in goodness and faithfulness. When thoughts of God fill our mind, they usually focus upon his goodness and his faithfulness, which have never failed, never run out, never expire. Most things now, when you purchase them, if you look for long enough, you'll see an expiration date on them. Meaning you got to use it before that time.
All right.
If you don't, you got to throw it away. But on God's mercy, there's no expiration date. There's no out of use date. There's no use by this date. There's no issue this day. It's just there. God's mercy have been in existence as long as God have been in existence. And that is forever. God shows mercy and love to those, and by forgiving the wickedness and the rebellion and the sin, the name of God, the Lord, means that God is merciful and loving. Therefore, he forgives all kinds of wrong. God forgives iniquities, transgressions, sin, no matter what the sin is, all wickedness and evil, rebellion against him and his commandments and corruption. God forgives them all, no matter what the person has done or how terrible the evil they've done. God shows mercy and love by withholding his justice and judgment. If justice were to plumb the line, wouldn't any of us be here today? But because of the mercy of God, we are yet here today because of his mercy. Because his mercy is greater than his anger. His justice and his judgment, it gives a person time to repent. Brothers and sisters, if you know that you've done something out of the will of God, and you are yet inhaling and exhaling, he's giving you this time to repent of your sin because you need to repent and get it out of the way. Those are the three, sometimes the hardest words to say. Will you forgive me? However many it is. We need to say those words to people that we have offended or done things wrong to. And you especially need to ask God to forgive you. And I say it a lot of the time. Sometimes I believe it's easier to get forgiveness that way than it is to get it this way. Because we need to get forgiveness. And if you want God to forgive you, you got to get your brothers and your sisters to forgive you. You just need, how can you want him to forgive you and people you see all the time? Okay. God forgives thousands because of his name, the Lord. God is a God of mercy and love. God executed righteousness and justice. He punishes the guilty and the children of the guilty unto the third and fourth generations. And I didn't make that up.
All right.
I read it to you out the Bible just then. So we need, in order to get forgiveness, we need to ask for it. Then you have something to do with somebody else, some of your stuff being passed on to somebody else that you've done. So you need to ask for forgiveness unless you wanted to go down generation after generation. He said it in his word. I didn't make it up. He promised us that he would be there to show his mercy upon us. This is the one I've been trying to get to. Point number five, my last point. God's anger. Exodus chapter 4, verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. The man, y'all, that the children of Israel had so much faith and confidence in, God got angry with him. Moses. Being drawn out of water. Moses, the Levite, the deliverer of the children of Israel. God had wanted Moses to do something. Moses just didn't want to do it.
Well,
and he refused and asked God to send someone else. Moses rejected God's call. But then God is patient with us. Moses had run out of excuses, so he had to admit the truth. He just didn't want to go. Have you ever been there? Most of you think that the only time you can refuse God if he's calling you to do what we call preach. No. He calls you to go see somebody. He calls you to be nice to people. He calls you to witness to people. He calls you to smile at people that won't even smile at you. He calls you to speak to people that you think don't want to speak to you. He calls you. But you decide whether you're going to answer or not. Yeah, we have those conversations with them just like Moses did. In the long run, brothers and sisters, to help yourself a lot. If you think God's calling you to do something, just go ahead and do it. You'll save yourself a lot of trouble and heartaches. You'll do that. And Moses ran out of excuses and just didn't want to go. I wrote this down there because I wasn't thinking about none of y'all. I was thinking about me. I said, he actually begged God to send someone else. Moses wanted God to call someone else to send his message by. He wanted someone else to take the word of God. He wanted someone else to go and talk to Pharaoh. He did not want to go. He wanted to live like he wanted to live. He wanted to do his own thing. You ever been there? Don't want to do like mama and daddy said. I want to do it the way that my generation is doing. But their generation got you to where you are today. So why are you going to kick it all to the curb? Just take what you can use with it. Moses wanted to do his own thing with his own life. He was rejecting God's call, refusing to do what God wanted him to do. He was refusing to be God's messenger, refusing to go forth and do what God wanted him to do.
All right.
I wrote this down and I asked myself a question. What was God's response to Moses? God got angry with him. Mm-hmm. But now, let me help you out. It was a righteous anger. He didn't wish malice on Moses because he didn't want to go. He got angry with Moses because Moses had seen the trouble that the Israelites were in. He had seen the way that the people were being treated, but he didn't want to go and help them out. When he was there trying to do it on his own and his own way, he had to leave town. He wanted to free them one by one. God was telling him, no, Moses, I ain't going to do it that way. I'm going to free all of them at one time. But I got to send you, Moses. But what God knew something that Moses did not know. Anything, brothers and sisters, that God, yeah, wants you to do, He's already made a way for you to accomplish what he wants you to accomplish. But you can't see, help the Holy Ghost, what God sees. We can only see right now. God sees down the road. Moses couldn't see that. Moses saw himself going back to a place where people were going to kill him on sight. God had fixed it. God had righteous anger. And God would not allow Moses to say no. Have you ever been trying not to do something and every excuse you brought up got wiped out the way? I want you to come and speak for us. Well, I can't do it because I got a meeting I got to go to. And I just got to be there because I'm in charge. Then you get a call that the meeting has been canceled. What's your excuse now? See, God, when God plans for you to do something, you just ought to go ahead on and do it. Brothers and sisters, and we need to live so close to God that we know when he's calling us to do something. Even though God was angry with Moses, he still showed mercy toward Moses. God fulfilled the excuses that Moses had. Moses said, I can't speak well. He said, your brother Aaron is coming.
Yes, sir.
And Aaron has a silver tongue. Mm-hmm. He can speak and people will listen.
All right.
He can talk and get their attention.
Yes.
So what's your excuse now, Moses? Well, Moses felt like, to me, he felt like he was at a point where he couldn't do anything else. All he could do was go. And then when he said he was going to send him, Moses had to make up his mind that he was going to go and had to get away from being God being angry with him. Moses was to go and proclaim the glorious deliverance that was coming. There was no more argument, no more excuses. God promised Moses a helper, his brother Aaron. God told Moses that Aaron was on his way and he was coming to see you, and he's going to be glad when he sees you. And I know right here, if my mind remembers right, in Charlton Heston's movie, The Ten Commandments, they didn't have Aaron coming. They had another one of the guys coming. It wasn't Aaron. But the Bible says that Aaron was coming. And he met him there, and he visited him. Note that God chose Aaron to replace Moses. Moses was supposed to be the mouthpiece for God. Wow. But then God took Aaron and replaced Aaron with Moses. Moses was a great man, but he did not do what thus said the Lord, and God got angry with him. God, he did something else that made God, God didn't let him see the promised land because he did something against the will of God. I'm trying to show you, brothers and sisters, that you can be a child of God and God yet gets angry with you because you failed to do something that he called you to do. Moses was not the significant, the main spokesman for God. Aaron was, because Aaron spoke what thus said the Lord. And Moses was there. He was a great man. But God gets angry with us. I found this after I finished my message, so I wrote it out on a little sheet of paper. Some of the things that make God angry. Stubbornness make God angry. When a child of his, when he wants them to do something and they just won't move, they got their mindset. They gonna do it their way. Then when we go into idolatry, we put what I want to do in front of what God wants me to do. What I want to do becomes my idol, and I won't do the will of God. And then murmuring. The children of Israel murmured about 9 or 10 times when God was bringing them across the wilderness, and every time they murmured, something negative happened to them in their life. Stop your murmuring and your grumbling. If you got something to say, say it to God. Talk to God about it. Stop the murmuring and the grumbling, and then cry in yourself about what you think you ought to do. You think you all are that and a bag of chips, and then some of us have our own will. We don't want nothing to be done unless it's done like I want it to be. That's called self-will. Those kind of things make God angry. We all out of heaven, and then rebellion. Just don't want to do right. You know what's right, but you won't do right. You do wrong because you just don't want to do it. And then there is backsliding. I like that one because a lot of us do that. We backslide on God. I told y'all once before how they got that turn from a cow. They tried to put him in the pen. A cow just put down a box, a bite one, and put down a front one, and she won't go anywhere. She just starts sliding backwards. It's called backsliding. But in order to backslide, you got to be someplace else before you backslide. You're there serving God, doing like God wants you to do, but then you got a place you get stubborn, you get hard-headed, you want to do it your way, and you just start going back into what you used to do. It makes God angry because you are a child of God. And then there's just a plain old sin that makes God angry when his children don't want to do right. That's what happened to the children of Israel. God had brought them out of the promise, out of Egypt, and taken them into the promised land. After he got them there, they got beside themselves and started wanting to serve other gods. They rebelled and they broke up into two nations. God didn't want two nations. He just wanted one. The nation of Israel, people's ego got in the way. That's what happened in the church sometimes. Egos get in the way. I want it my way. I get stubborn and then I start backsliding, going away from what God would have me to do. You got to stay with God because God will get angry with you. his children. But if you remember, I told you that his anger won't last forever. See, sometimes when he puts you in judgment, judgment is to bring you back to him. After you get away from what you thought wasn't good, you find that God's all right. What he wanted me to do was what I needed to do when I was rebelling. I shouldn't have been rebelling, but I got what I thought I wanted. And after I got it, I found out that it wasn't what I thought it was. And that's why you ought to stay with the sure thing. God done brought you out of Egypt, brought you through the Red Sea, brought you around the walls of Jericho, and now you want to leave. Brothers and sisters, if you don't get anything else, please, ma'am, and please, sir, take this. God's mercy is greater than his anger. But in order to enjoy his mercy, you got to repent of your wrong. Because for God to get angry with you, you got to have sinned and turned your back on him. Don't walk away from God. God's mercy is greater than his anger. I'm through. Will you stand? And if you don't know God as your Savior, to experience his mercy, all you have to do is